Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today with the Kansas City Chiefs, the world champions.
Chiefs!
All right, let's start with the obvious. Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl last night. The San Francisco 49ers did not lose Super Bowl 54. You understand the difference, right? In Northern California today, there's a heated conversation about all the dumb and terrible things Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo did that cost the 49ers the game. We'll have that conversation today, too. But that conversation should not overshadow what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes did last night. They won the Super Bowl 31-20. They withstood the relentless pressure from San Francisco's defensive front four and then snatched the soul of the 49ers with a 21-point fourth quarter. 49ers cornerback Richard Sherman honored Kobe Bryant by showing up to the Super Bowl in a throwback jersey. The Kansas City Chiefs honored Kobe by striking with the speed and precision of a Black Mamba snake. For you 49ers fans looking for a cause of death, the autopsy is going to reveal Black Mamba poisoning injected by Reid, Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins. Reid struck first. Twice in the first half, Big Red went for it on fourth and one. Twice in the same half. Kansas City had only gone for it 10 times all season on fourth down. The Chiefs converted both of their fourth down plays on Sunday, which led to 10 points. Those fourth down decisions were the first bit of poison injected into Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. The lethal doses wouldn't come until the fourth quarter. In the final quarter, Kansas City speed killed the 49ers, erasing a 20-10 deficit. A San Francisco cornerback guessed wrong in zone coverage, and Tyreek Hill made him pay, darting to the open area of the zone and hauling in a 44-yard pass on third and 15. That was the kill shot. It moved Kansas City to the 49ers' 21-yard line with a little more than 6 minutes to play. Four plays and 20 seconds later, the Chiefs trailed 20-17. On KC's next possession, Mahomes and Watkins finished San Francisco and Richard Sherman.
And it's one-on-one then against Richard Sherman with Sammy Watkins, and Richard Sherman one-on-one is just not going to run with him. They've had those chances at other times tonight. They just have not taken the shot.
Andy Reid's aggressive coaching, Patrick Mahomes' arm, and the speed of Kansas City's receivers decided Super Bowl 54. I certainly appreciate all the dumb and terrible things Shanahan and Garoppolo did, but the truth is Reid and Mahomes snatched the soul of the 49ers the same way Mike Shanahan and John Elway used to do opponents. The difference is Andy Reid has Mahomes in his prime. We witnessed the beginning of a dynasty yesterday, not the collapse of Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy G. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. Marcellus, get us rolling. Did the Chiefs win the Super Bowl or did the 49ers blow it?
I know this is not going to help you sleep well, but 49ers blew it. 49ers gave this up. The Chiefs did not take this opportunity. Ooh. The 49ers gave them this opportunity. For 3.5 quarters, we saw almost an inept team based on their standards in terms of offensive production and more so just in moxie and mojo, style of play. We all get graded based on not only team success, but individual success. And Patrick Mahomes, who has set absurd standards for his own grading system, looked substandard for most of that game. And what happened? I've been here before. I think we've all been here before. Don't date your fantasy. When you date your fantasy, you know what happens? Reality kicks in. And this entire team, the 49ers, for 3.5 quarters, were on the hunt. We're on the mission. And finally, they started to fantasize. It's happening. It's about to go down. Because we got the second best rushing attack in postseason history almost. And we got this defense. Oh, we up 10? I don't care who they are. Line them up and lay them down. They got to that moment where they started to fantasize about the result. And that's what gave up their momentum. That's what gave up the opportunity for the Chiefs to do what the Chiefs did. And it's sad to see because we're going to nitpick the play calling. We're going to nitpick situations. But it was a collective exhale that happened. And in that moment, congrats to you guys. Congrats to the Chiefs for striking, for taking advantage, for being the Black Mamba in that moment. But that moment would have never occurred if they didn't start to think about what was about to be.
Like for me, this was Kansas City taking over. And I know you know this, being a Clippers fan. The Kansas City Chiefs, I maintain, they're the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors of old, because they're so explosive. The big plays fuel them, get them excited, and they go. And Pat Mahomes is nothing more than Steph Curry. And what you saw is that 3rd-and-15 conversion, once it got going, it's the same way we've been in Staples. When you see Steph hit a shot, and it kind of comes in buckets. And that's what we saw. We saw them get hot. We saw the big plays begin to come in bunches. And we've seen it multiple times in the playoffs. When they get rolling, this offense cannot be contained. And that is what happened in this game.
Yeah, I think Kansas City took it as well. It's like that final fight scene in the Bruce Leroy movie, The Last Dragon, right? Where it was real tight. It was tied up 10-10, right? But then here comes showing up talking about play time's over, right? And he showed that glow, right? Started whooping them. And I think that that's what took place. San Francisco started whooping on Kansas City. But what happened during the course of that game was, all right, you start putting Kansas City in the water. Who's the master? Who's the master, right? He brought him out that last time, and Mahomes and Andy Reid said, I am. And it was a different type of glow, right? It was a different type. And he started flickering, right? The Niners started flickering. They took this game. They took the Niners' best shot. They adapted. They adjusted, and then they came out, and the Niners were not able to answer the adjustments and them coming out with a remeasured game plan in this.
I'm not sure if it was a remeasured game plan, but I agree with you. They took the best shot because I do for three quarters, I will admit, Patrick Mahomes was shook. Nick Bosa had so disrupted and made this dude so uncomfortable. Like, my left tackle's in over his head. I don't know when this guy's coming to get me, but I hear his footsteps every time, and that's what I think led to the inaccuracy and all that. But Patrick Mahomes steadied himself. The competitor in Patrick Mahomes. When he got around the corner, and I thought Nick Bosa was going to chase him down from behind, and it's like Patrick Mahomes, oh, my God, he's got another gear, and ran around the corner and picked up 10 yards and picked up a first down. It blew my mind, but it also just let me know this guy wasn't going down. He was going to steady himself. He was going to figure out a way to make plays, even though they couldn't block Nick Bosa. And that's why I just think so. And look, at some point, Tyreek Hill was going to get San Francisco. Their secondary not built for Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins had a great postseason run. He got Richard Sherman individually. That, and again, Andy Reid's two decisions and his aggressive coaching, breaking tendencies, that's why I have to say this is about the Kansas City Chiefs, and I get why San Francisco people are upset and are pointing the finger at their coaching staff and their players or whatever, but for me as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, proud of the way they came. And they came back all postseason. This was par for the course.
No, I got to go deeper into those same moments because we all saw Kyle Shanahan, what, a minute and 50 to go before the first half. I'm going to conserve these timeouts, and I don't know why.
Next season. They're gonna use them next season.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. You stupid. I'm going to save them for next year and get a head up, get a jump start. But then he takes a shot. Why are you taking a shot? I thought we were conserving. They took a shot, actually completed it, but it was a penalty on Kittle. So then they come back. Then you say, okay, we are going to conserve these timeouts, huh? Then you come out in the second half, 4th-and-2 on the 25, and you kick a field goal. You know what that yells to your team? We're going to play this safe. We're going to play this conservatively. And then what happened when they got into the fourth quarter? Patrick Mahomes throws another interception, two in a row, and everyone said Patrick Mahomes showed up. He's in the fourth quarter, y'all, throwing interceptions, okay? So stop with this showing up. And then finally, it's like 7 minutes to go, and we're sitting there. It's that 3rd-and-15. And everyone is sitting there, and this team is starting to imagine this is about to happen. This is about to go down. And their coach has already told them, play it safe. And all of a sudden, you start to see the attention to detail being missed. Because now your eyes are not on the prize. And the prize is not the result. The prize is the next step. Do all the little things, you'll get the big thing. They collectively lost that because of Kyle Shanahan, not because of what was given to them or taken from them by the Chiefs.
It's all about the quarterback. It's all about Pat Mahomes. And I think both coaches told you exactly what you need to know about the quarterbacks in this game. At the end of the first half, when people asked Kyle Shanahan, why did he sit on it? Mm. He said, because I didn't want to give the ball back to Kansas City with them with three timeouts and that quarterback. The reason Andy Reid took Pat Mahomes is because when we were in Green Bay in the mid-90s, Brett Favre won three straight MVPs, 95, 96, 97. Mm. Andy Reid says Pat Mahomes is the closest thing that he's seen to him than Brett Favre. And one of the things that I can tell you about being Brett's teammate is that all we felt, if we can just get him the ball back, we can win. When you hear all the conversations after the game, all the guys said, we just knew. If we could get the ball back to Pat, yeah, Pat could do it. He's a special player, and that's the difference between a franchise quarterback and other quarterbacks.
And that what you just said is why I believe, truly, this isn't a fan in me, and I know I'm dressed like a fan today, because I am. This is the beginning of a dynasty. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of a dynasty. Before Andy Reid retires, he'll win two more Super Bowls with Pat Mahomes before he hands him off to somebody else. I feel very confident that in the next 2 years, they're going to win at least one more Super Bowl.
Only two totality?
I'm just saying, they go either next year or the year after, they're going to win another Super Bowl. I think they're going to win three total before Andy Reid retires.
Only three? I mean, this team is about to roll. I am with you on the hype train in terms of the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and what this team looks like. Don't forget, this team spent the least amount of money of all NFL teams this year, $167 million. And the team that spent the most was their opponent in the Super Bowl in the San Francisco 49ers. So they have money to spend. Obviously, we know who's going to take a lot of it. Patrick Mahomes, and well-deservedly. But this is a team that is going to construct itself properly. And it's going to have the quarterback that gives you that energy and gives you that confidence. In the next 3 years, any other team is lucky to get one of those. I think they're going to get the majority, and then one team sneaks in there. That's just how built and how stacked they are.
I want to disagree, but I do agree. And the reason why is because the one thing that I really still continue to question is, can Lamar come out and have the type of impact on a season the way that he did? If he can, then I would love to disagree and say that this
you mean Baltimore,
postseason.
Because he's had the regular
season. Yes, yeah, postseason.
There you go.
Well, type of season. I put it all together. Yeah, postseason. All right. Can he get it done? But looking at the way, because I would disagree and say, in Pat Mahomes' defense, even when he threw those interceptions, he still stuck to the game plan and completed the big plays when he needed completed those explosive plays. The way he looks out there on the field at this younger stage in his career, if Andy Reid stays healthy, if he can keep his coaching staff together and put some pieces around him that are going to continue to grow with Mahomes, it definitely could be a start of a dynasty.
Now, I would say they're going to be in contention for the long term, but it's hard. It's hard because we've seen this before. We saw Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl, and we thought that they would have a dynasty in Green Bay. It's hard to get over the threshold. However, everyone that is building their team now, you have to build your team to be the Kansas City Chiefs. And it is really hard because you got a transcendent talent at quarterback and a track team on the outside. And the collective speed that they have on offense, their offense is their best defense. Because when you really look at this team wasn't more talented than the San Francisco 49ers. They had a great quarterback. They had speedsters on the outside. But that quarterback can mask all the other flaws, which is why we talk about franchise quarterbacks. That is what they're supposed to be able to do.
Look, the Aaron Rodgers comparison, where it falls down slightly, and I love Aaron Rodgers' talent, but if you look at Patrick Mahomes' leadership and the connection that he and Lamar, I'll put Lamar in that same class, the connection their teammates have with them, that belief, that rallying around this guy, where everything we've heard about Aaron Rodgers from Greg Jennings on down is like, this is an odd dude. It's hard to connect with. Again, that's what I've always said about Brett Favre, man. Like, guys really love playing for and with Brett Favre. I don't think Aaron Rodgers creates that kind of aura. Patrick Mahomes certainly does. This dude talks country, a little bit awkward, but people love this dude because he loves the game. They know what he puts into the game, and they know what his talent can do for them. It goes all the way back to our Friday conversation about force multiplier. This dude makes everybody better to the point Damian Williams, a running back virtually no one knew about, cared about, maybe should have been the MVP.
Look, I want to start this narrative, and this is not to take a shot. I just want everyone to pay attention, take notice of Patrick Mahomes' last four postseason games. Now, pregame, they were talking about Patrick Mahomes not knowing which mental space to tap into before the game because he usually gets too hyped. So he tried to go and counter that by being a little low in energy, and we saw how he started. Then that made me start to think, the psychologist in me, what's going on with Patrick Mahomes, face of the NFL, one of the faces, past MVP? No points in the first half we saw last year in the Super Bowl. I mean, in an AFC Championship game. Then he gets down 24. Then he gets down 10. Then he gets down 10. All I'm saying is there's something that is going to leave them susceptible for somebody to take them. Mm-hmm. If Patrick Mahomes continues in the postseason, last four postseason games, not exactly starting off as a barn burner.
He needs something to get himself going, huh? Tune in tonight for a special edition of Speak for Yourself Loves Football. In partnership with Adidas, Marcellus and I spent some time this week at Miami's Edison High School unveiling a brand new sustainable football field. We celebrate football and all it can do in a local community. Check out the premiere tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on FS1. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back. Time now for a big story presented by Hyundai. All right, let's return to Miami where my Chiefs pulled out a huge comeback win last night over the 49ers. Jimmy G and San Francisco had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter, but didn't score any points in the final frame and couldn't put Kansas City away. If you compare Garoppolo down the stretch to Patrick Mahomes, it isn't pretty. With Jimmy G going 2-for-9 for just 24 yards, one pick, and a passer rating of 0 in the final 7 minutes, while Mahomes took over and put the 49ers away. All right, Marcellus, did Jimmy G get exposed?
Yeah, he did. He got exposed at how good he is and how good he can be. That was on display for three quarters. Jimmy G outplayed Patrick Mahomes for most of that game. Let's just be real about it. But obviously, the outcome is going to shape how we look at this. And I think it's on us. The onus is on us to really extract individual talents from the team result. Because what I saw from Jimmy G was not him getting exposed. It's him not being trusted fully and him not being put in those positions. Now, trust is earned, not given. And that could go back to past performances or some things in practice or just tendencies where Kyle Shanahan didn't put the ball in his quarterback's hand as he should have. But there were a few moments and miscues for Jimmy G, but there were even more for Patrick Mahomes. The thing about Jimmy G that I liked is that he didn't seem like the moment was too big for him. He walked on that field from hello, going against a former MVP and one of the faces of the NFL and said, let's go, and was winning that battle. But obviously being let down, some defensively, some in just in terms of play calling, he didn't live up to the full billing. But Jimmy G walking into that game and walking out of that game, I think people think more positively of him.
So I heard you talk about the coach, the defense, the supporting cast. And so it plays right into my point. Quarterbacks are lumped into two categories. They're either trucks or trailers. Trucks carry the squad. Trailers are carried by the squad. He's a trailer. He has to have everything around him, support him, so he can play at a high level. When Kyle Shanahan was on his game, dialing up, he was serving up completions easy, and he was taking them. But when it was money time, in the fourth quarter, when you say, hey, guy, I need you to go make a play, Jimmy Garoppolo cannot make that play. We saw in the fourth quarter, it is there. All they need to do is get a couple first downs. Couldn't do it. Then at the end of the game, he dials up a home run. Emmanuel Sanders. It's wide open.
Wide open.
Blew the layup. So you're talking about in basketball, it's a make or miss league. At some point, he has to make. Until then, he's going to stay in that trailer category.
No, he didn't get exposed. And I agree, he is the trailer, not the truck. And the sad thing about what you had to say, Bucky, is he's always been the same player. He's executed the game plan masterfully to get them to where they needed to be. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Jimmy Garoppolo did everything he was supposed to do. The defense got exposed. The 49ers defense.
No.
They got exposed. They got exposed in the last 8 to 7 minutes of that game. And to me, him being the trailer, not the the truck, that defense being the truck, stalled out, fizzled out,
blame the trailer,
ran out of gas, had to get on the side, had to get a tire repair because they did not bring it home when Jimmy Garoppolo gave them that 10-point lead.
I think it all, my defense of Jimmy G is based on my expectations of him. And so I never saw him as a truck. I saw him as a good quarterback who can be loose with the football and throw, turn it over and from time to time. And he did those things. The excuse I'm going to give him, the out or the justification I'm going to give him, man, if I'm quarterbacking in a Super Bowl, and I think at some point Jimmy G completed 15 out of 17 passes. And I don't know when that was, if it was in the first half or whatever.
Second quarter.
But if somehow you can do all of that and get to the last 90 seconds of that first half and your coach doesn't call a timeout like, man, we're going to give you a chance to move us down the field. And then when you do get the ball back with a minute and three timeouts, your coach still jacks up the clock and lets it just run and run and run. The coach just told everybody, 100 million people, I don't believe in you. And now I'm supposed to be mad at Jimmy G? When to me, he had been, again, by the third quarter, I was like, man, Jimmy G's playing a hell of a game. But the coach didn't believe in him, so it's hard for me to come down really hard on Jimmy G. Here's the element that Jimmy G that got exposed to me last night and may get exposed more and more as we move into this version of the NFL. The biggest difference between Jimmy D and Patrick Mahomes last night is Jimmy G does not move. He sits in that pocket. Patrick Mahomes, with the threat of his legs, his escapability, was able to get to plays and make plays with his legs or with his arms that Jimmy G just doesn't do. And I'm not sure if in this new version of the NFL, if all you do is play from the pocket, you may get beaten by guys that move.
Yeah, you're limited. You will get exposed. It's right. It's like Kyle Shanahan just told the world that all that money we gave you was counterfeit. Like, we don't believe in you. You're not real. And it's sad because Jimmy G was showing that he was real. The game plan was get us into the fourth quarter with a lead. We got this. That's why they actually gave up the game. Second best defense, second best running game. Guess what, Jimmy G? Just swim. You know, don't try and do too much. Nothing acrobatic. Just float. And he did more than that. And then he gets to the fourth quarter, and then those things that he was banking on, counting on, Kyle Shanahan was banking on, betting on, they all started to go awry. They started to disappear. Richard Sherman, my boy, Compton's finest. That everyone has been whispering, don't put Richard Sherman on the island. Troy Aikman, the entire broadcast, was yelling, he's on an island. Yeah. Y'all can expose this. And finally, it caved in on them. The defense let them down. More importantly, the running game couldn't keep moving the chains in those moments. And then the game plan started to collapse. But it wasn't because of Jimmy G.
But truly, the exposure, exposing of, was his opportunity to get critics to speak on him differently.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about what was truly exposed, he still had the opportunity to deliver a big explosive play to Emmanuel Sanders. And as it was already stated, he missed it. He's really one throw away from us speaking on. He gets game MVP.
That's how
they win the Super Bowl. It was that close, but yet that was exposed.
It's that Kirk Cousins dagger. Remember Kirk Cousins in the Saints game in the playoffs, and he hits that throw, and all of a sudden, monkey off his back.
But those batted balls count too.
Yeah,
that's why I'm talking about not being able to move. It's easier to bat a ball.
He's definitely not one of the new school quarterbacks. Yeah. Like we talk about the guys that are popular. I think here's the thing that is funny because I hear you guys trying to give Jimmy G all the credit, but going into the game, we talked about, hey, you got to let them throw more. They're just running. Well, if they're running the ball all the time, it is Kyle Shanahan telling you, we don't trust this dude because when we let him throw it, he turns it over. And the more he throws, he's on a pitch count. When he throws over 30 times, the turnovers come in bunches. And that's what's happening. And so even though we talk about the price tag and how much it is, it doesn't change who the player is.
Their game plan had them up 10 with 7-8 minutes left in the game. Buck, can't overlook that.
You make a hell of a point, because I think a lot of people are critical of my critique of Jimmy G, this loose steal. And I say it goes all the way back to personality, and people think I'm just cracking a joke, but I'm not. The whole thing the porn star out in Beverly Hills speaks to a mindset. And the reason why I can say that is because I've been infected with that loose mindset. My decision-making early on in my 20s and 30s, very loose. And it just didn't apply. Personal life, it crept into my professional life. Go look at the suspensions I've had in my career. I would turn the ball over. I had to touch that hot stove several times before I said, oh, that fire's hot. Let me leave that alone. That's Jimmy G, and Kyle Shanahan certainly sees it as well.
I don't think he does. I think what he's trying to do is bring him along in a process that we're not patient enough to respect. Think about young Ben Roethlisberger. I remember seeing him. Suspect. 61 QB rating in the postseason, but you get a Super Bowl out of that. Brady, 77. Get a Super Bowl out of that. Jimmy G, 76. Oh, damn, Jimmy G, you sorry. And that's just how close it is. It's just micro thin in terms of one play or not being let down by your counterpart.
Let's return to Miami, where the Chiefs had an amazing win last night over the 49ers to take home Super Bowl 54. Patrick Mahomes was named MVP after engineering a 10-point fourth quarter comeback, and no doubt he was great down the stretch. But he actually struggled for much of the game, and another Chief, running back Damian Williams, made a strong case for the award, putting up 100 rushing yards with one rushing TD and one receiving TD, while Mahomes ended the night with two picks and the lowest passer rating of any QB to win a Super Bowl MVP. Did Patrick Mahomes deserve to be Super Bowl MVP?
No, obviously not. Look, we all know the political campaigning that goes on in any industry, any business, especially the biggest event in sports every single year, the Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes, they already had the M and the V given to him, and they were just waiting for him to go do anything to give him the P. And it's wild because Damian Williams went out there and was balling out of control, keeping this ship afloat while Patrick Mahomes was trying to figure out what his mental space was and where to throw the football. Unfair to Damian Williams, who had a stat line that would grade higher in his meeting room than Patrick Mahomes would in his meeting room. He also had two touchdowns. We also know that coming into this game with the stat line that Damian Williams had, four of the five running backs who had that stat line or greater in the Super Bowl all won MVP. Only one did not. And he didn't have name value either. His name was Timmy Smith. Remember him?
Timmy Smith didn't win MVP?
No, it was Doug Williams.
Doug Williams.
My My point is, he just lost because the back of the jersey, not because of the stat sheet. And that's unfortunate and it's unfair to my young man.
I mean, you really watched that game and felt like that Damian Williams was the reason why they won.
No, like, I felt that he was closer to the reason.
So, so let's take
Who salted the game away, Bucky?
Let's take away that 38-yard run.
Well, so now,
let's take away the 38-yard run
that sealed the game.
16 carries for 66 yards. I mean, that's what we're talking about. 16 carries for 60-something yards. That's MVP caliber?
Hold on. Sealing a game.
No, it was already sealed.
24-20 is not sealed.
As soon as he got that first down, he should have fell down.
When they stopped him,
I'm trying to win MVP. I ain't falling down. What the hell are you doing?
It's a wrap. No.
Patrick Mahomes should have won the MVP. Are you serious?
Yes. Yes. Yes, because in the fourth quarter.
With the worst rating ever.
Take all that away.
You got to take a lot away.
The guy who made the plays that were pivotal in the game. Pat Mahomes made the plays. Third and 15, the big pass to Tyreek Hill, the big pass to Sammy Watkins, those were the game-changing plays. Williams running up inside for 2 and 3 and 5 a pop,
oh, you
that didn't
like
change
those,
the game.
Hold on, a 5-yard pass from Mahomes. a one-yard pass from Mahomes and a one-yard run. Combined 7 yards and 3 touchdowns and pedestrian numbers in terms of between the 20s, and that's the MVP? He has 7 combined yards in his touchdowns. Y'all act like he lit it up. Will y'all stop?
You don't have to lit it up to be the most valuable player, but he was the most valuable player in the last quarter of that game.
Because he got curly hair. And cute. Because he's Patrick Mahomes. Because he's the face of the NFL. Like, I'm not hating on him. I came up here last year and got almost walked off stage for saying how great Patrick Mahomes was when they played the L.A. Chargers, gave him 4 touchdowns. I said, he's next. Now, we're at a place where we just can't all of a sudden give likability, or because we are rooting so hard that we're now looking at the real measurables and the numbers. He had a bad game, and he's the MVP?
I think game is too far.
Oh, by his standards. I'm not saying by what you and I would do out there. But Patrick Mahomes, you give us this stat line. He's never thrown
multiple interceptions. Hold on, Marcellus.
Never multiple interceptions by his standards.
286 passing yards.
And
the rushing yards, because he ran 15 yards.
Were critical.
He surrendered 15 critical. At the end. Seriously.
He would have had like 40.
Yeah, they were backwards. He ran backwards.
Okay, let's get these books.
And so literally, because again, bettors lost a lot of money because he backed up like 15 yards and cost bettors a bunch of money. Yeah. And so he was going to be an effective rusher. He was an effective rusher for him. Mm-hmm. He threw for 286 yards. Mm. Again, he's a force multiplier. Damian Williams, trust me, if Shady McCoy or somebody else had been the running back there, Patrick Mahomes is still going to put up his numbers. If Patrick Mahomes is not their quarterback, trust me, these safeties eat up Damian Williams, and he doesn't run for 104 yards. So, look, no disrespect to Damian Williams. The guy that I actually thought was the second candidate for MVP, and this will sound crazy, but if you watch the game, Chris Jones. Yep. Forced the first interception. I know the other guy came in and got the actual hit, but Chris Jones forced him out of the pocket, put the pressure on him. And then these batted balls, man, were critical.
Oh, yeah, that's critical.
Chris Jones, to me, was the second best, most impactful Chiefs player in that Super Bowl.
Have we ever watched a Super Bowl and the MVP by the broadcast crew is saying, man, he's not playing well in the third quarter? Like, think about these moments right here. I got a full screen right here to show you Patrick Mahomes when Troy Aikman was calling him out as he should have. Look at these numbers through third quarter. My wife just put my daughter down at that moment. In the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, she's like, this game's over. Passer rating, 62.9. Look at that, 145 passing yards. I get it.
There's a reason why, Marcellus.
What's that?
Nick Bosa.
Oh, he was there in the fourth quarter?
In my biggest game in my college career, I put a quarterback in the same position Patrick Mahomes was in for three quarters because I couldn't deal with a dude. And that brought back nightmares yesterday. This dude was in Patrick Mahomes' head.
Most quarterbacks would have folded up their tent, neatly packed it, and rolled up out of there. But for the simple fact that he didn't, and for whatever happened in those first three quarters, I always say, a franchise quarterback does what? They do it in spite of, right? I always use in spite of.
I give you that.
They got down to it. The game is on the line, and you're down by a 2-possession type of deal, and he delivered the explosive plays. He did deliver. There's no way around
it. They were in striking distance in spite of Patrick Mahomes being suspect because of Damian Williams in the running game.
No.
There is bias against the running back position in the Super Bowl in terms of MVP. Last one to win it was Terrell Davis, 22 years ago. Y'all got to stop playing with me. Look, if y'all already said who's going to win it, he just got to mess it up, then that's a different conversation. I know Disney had that $1 million. Already got to give it to a Make-A-Wish kid. It's better when it comes from Patrick Mahomes than it is Damian Williams, I assume. It was all commercial propaganda,
I think what you're saying certainly played a role. No, without question.
Without doubt.
I think this is what's best for the league, best for Disney World, best for the Kansas City Chiefs, best for me. I don't even know what I would have worn had Damian Williams. I don't know how to look like Damian Williams, but I do kind of like Patrick Mahomes. But on a serious note.
What?
Those are factors. You're right.
And these are factors. Give us a wide screen. Look at that shot. That's at Disney World now. Look at Dee Williams right there.
That
all counts.
That
I don't understand. You don't want to
what that
respect.
Man did in the last 7 minutes of that game. I can't allow that.
It's a 60-minute game, but we don't say seven.
I cannot allow that.
He brought him back.
Yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo had the same. Who scored two
Jimmy
of those touchdowns?
Jimmy Garoppolo had the same opportunity.
Well, somebody threw one to him.
Yeah.
And then he got the garbage.
What, 5 yards?
He got the garbage one at the end.
Garbage. But it's only four. It's a 4-point game.
That was
garbage.
A garbage touchdown.
It's 24-20, but it's garbage.
I don't want to beat up Damian Williams.
We're not, but that's the end of the game.
It's the end of the game.
His nickname is Playoff Williams.
But y'all beating him up for the wrong reason.
I'm not beating him up.
No.
That touchdown was at the end of the game.
The problem I have with Damian Williams is the smart play would have been to fall down at the 5-yard line.
So that you could win
your
bet.
Kneel. No.
Oh.
So you can. No. You don't give them the ball back.
Oh, yes, I do in the Super Bowl.
No.
I need that MVP.
If he stops at the 5, yep. They kneel off the clock and the game is over.
But?
They never get the instant. By scoring the touchdown, he gave him the ball back. Anything could happen.
He knew that they were going to rig this against him. He's like, I need all the credit I can get. Oh, Damian.
Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it right home, boy.
Gio.
Yes, sir. Let's
like
talk
the
Tom
jersey.
Brady. Appreciate it, man. Shout out to Sheldon Day.
Straight out of Jersey.
Let's talk Tom Brady, who had a lot of Patriots fans worried after he sent out a mysterious tweet on Thursday that looked like he was walking away from the field. But it turns out the GOAT was just trolling us all. And it was actually a preview for the Super Bowl commercial. So check this out.
They say all good things must come to an end. So to my teammates, my family, and my fans, you deserve to hear this from me. Hulu doesn't just have live sports. According to the script they just gave me, Hulu also has your favorite cable channels plus the greatest shows, movies, and originals of all time. So it's time to say goodbye to TV as you know it. But me? I'm not going anywhere.
All right, guys, you like Tom Brady's troll job here?
No. I'm starting to get a little concerned that Tom Brady is showing early signs of the onset of social media troll addiction, loving the attention. Mm. I love Tom Brady. I'm glad he's made it crystal clear he's coming back, but I didn't like this.
I love this so much because Tom trolled y'all thirst. Yep, and I'm talking to all y'all with no wife, no life, no kids. We got time to be so damn socially curious. Y'all writing detailed synopsis of a dude who's just standing in the dark. I can't remember how many articles were ever written about something that was so meaningless. He took a picture in the tunnel. What does it mean? Whoa, wow. Y'all going to those places? Fine. So here's my thing. I love me a troll job. When it's just leaning into where y'all want to go anywhere. Y'all thirsty butts. So, Gus, it wasn't elaborate. It wasn't no big old hoax. It was just simple. Use your thirst against you. Good job, Tom Brady.
Just doesn't seem like the Patriot way. I mean, it just doesn't seem like the Patriot way. When we think about the ultimate team player, the guy who is synonymous with being the ultimate Patriot, it just doesn't seem like he would go to social media and try and troll fans, Patriots followers, his own team. Like, what are we doing, Tom? What are we doing?
We're doing TB12, baby. It's been the way for, like, the last 5 years.
It's hey, look at me.
A pivot. It's a pivot.
Y'all are tripping. This is not trolling. This is genius. It's entertainment, all right? Now, think about this. You heard Donnell when he introduced the topic. It looked like Tom Brady was walking away from the stadium. Well, in the commercial, he's walking towards the stadium. The point of the picture was you don't know which way he's walking. This man didn't troll anybody. He just had Hulu pay millions of dollars. Hold on. He just had Hulu pay millions of dollars to clear up what his cryptic picture of artistry on his social media was. And if y'all were listening to him, I'm going to shout out Hulu. Y'all paid all this money to give me this free commercial time to tell y'all what I'm really thinking. So Hulu has this. Hulu has that. Oh, by the way, Tom's not going anywhere. He just told everybody in the fan base. He just told every team. Tom ain't going nowhere. I thought it was brilliant.
And it
dropped the mic, Tom. You're doing it off the field, too.
I like it, too, because it was coupled this news cycle with talks of the Patriots north of $30 million to acquire him,
crazy.
To keep him. The Chargers doing the same. The Raiders entering the conversation. The Titans, Miami, Tampa, all of that. And Hulu sitting there like, oh, yeah, thanks. Because who would have cared as much about this commercial without Tom Brady
Nobody.
Just posting one picture?
Nobody.
What a lead-in, a picture? He didn't even try to troll us. Y'all just fell for it.
Fell for it.
Look, man, look. Brady, I'm a Colts guy. Y'all know that. So me and Brady, we've been beefing my whole entire career. This is a troll job. I didn't like it. He knew what he was doing, LeVar. He posted that picture.
You thought he was walking out of, like, oh, I was in the car. Oh, Tom's tired. He's walking out.
I was looking at the picture. He's walking out of
LeVar, you wasn't 1,000% for sure. It's not acting like you got all the answers.
The point.
You know what I mean?
The point was I did not know what he was doing. That's what I was trying to tell you in the car.
He didn't care.
I don't know where he's walking.
Okay, but seriously.
But it was relevant once we saw the commercial.
You know this is down more the OBJ lane than the Tom Brady lane.
Well, this was not loud.
Wait
OBJ
this for me.
Is loud.
Yeah, can y'all wait this for me? I don't know the consequences. When I first saw the picture, I was like, that is a dope picture. Yeah. To get black and white in the color environment, right. And you get the depth, and the game is behind you, or you're walking toward the game.
Which
I
one
love
is
that.
It?
But right. that's
Which
the point. The point is, he's a free agent for the first time. All this is new to him. Should he do this? He actually invited us into the conversation of, what do you think this
but
is?
But then he used the Super Bowl to tell everybody, Tom, hey, look, third
this
person.
Instagram?
Third person.
He's become an Ami guy.
Tom ain't going
he's
nowhere.
He's become an Ami guy.
$6 million for 30 seconds.
They made him Ami guy.
They paid $6 million
New England made him Ami guy.
Who made him Ami guy?
New England.
He's Ami guy.
New England.
No.
New England. They made him a me guy. And what did he do? He went and got Hulu to pay for him to be a me guy.
That is winning.
New England didn't want to do it.
Hey,
Hulu, you
hey,
pay for it.
Because of that troll job and because Hulu paid for it, $6 million for 30 seconds.
Get that.
He coming to
Money.
L.A.
Get
I guarantee
that.
You he going to be a Charger. This is too much TB12 for me, baby.
All right, friendly reminder, tune in tonight for a special edition of Speak for Yourself Loves Football in partnership with Adidas. Marcellus and I spent some time this week at Miami's Edison High School unveiling a brand new sustainable football field. We celebrate football and all it can do in a local community. Check out the premiere tonight at 10:30 Eastern on FS1. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back. Time for the most fearless discussion of the day. Let's move to Kyle Shanahan, who found himself with a double-digit fourth-quarter lead last night before the Chiefs roared back to win 31-20. Shanahan made some questionable decisions throughout the game, including letting the clock run out at the end of the first half and abandoning the running game late, but it's not the first time he's seen a lead slip away in the Super Bowl. As offensive coordinator of the Falcons, he was on the losing end of Tom Brady's 28-3 comeback a few years ago. All right, these Super Bowl collapses. Do we have cause for concern for Kyle Shanahan after another collapse?
Absolutely. As the adage goes, once is chance, twice coincidence, third time is a pattern. We better not see a third time. We had Miami Edison coaching where we were in Liberty City messing around doing this. A combined 48-13 lead in a Super Bowl twice combined. You imagine somebody told you, hey, man, y'all were up 48-13 and lost. You'd be like, what? And I know I'm cooking the books right here, but that's just how dramatic this feels. And I feel for him because it actually plays into exactly what he wants. He doesn't know what his recipe for success will be if he gets into these situations and all of a sudden he can't manage them. So, yeah, the collective score really is scary because each situation looked a little different. One, you're like, stop passing. One, you're like, start passing. But the point is, he needs to fix this.
He needs to fix it, but I believe he's getting beat up a little too much for some of the decisions that he made. I think he managed the game perfectly and had his team in a position with 7 minutes left to win the Super Bowl. Now, he didn't know that his defense was going to collapse and that in those critical moments when they needed the offense to go, all he can do is dial up perfect plays for his quarterback, and his quarterback missed three times. Missed an open layup, missed another open layup, and then he missed a home run shot to Emmanuel Sanders. And I know everyone is on him. Why don't they run the ball? But the two games prior to that, they were saying, why don't they pass the ball?
Yep.
Why don't they pass? Yep. So, and everyone talking about the running game, I just want everyone to know, when you take out the Deebo Samuel reverse early in the game, they're only averaging 3 yards a pop. It's not like they're just running it down Kansas City's throat. And so everyone wants to run and kind of squat on the clock. He understood that he needed to get some first downs. He had to put it in the air. He tried to trust his quarterback. Quarterback couldn't get it done. Mm.
I have no concern, not one bit. It's a learning experience. That first time, he was an OC. He wasn't the head coach. He wasn't running everything. Let's be clear on that. Let's be clear on this. He was not the head coach of that Atlanta Falcons team.
What?
So the blame falls at the feet of someone else.
Dan Quinn.
Yes, that's correct. So here you go, right? Look no further than Andy Reid across the field, all right? Experience. We said it later in the week last week going into the game. Experience, if it comes down to coaching, and experience over youth is the matchup, you got to go with experience. If we were looking at Andy Reid and saying that Andy Reid is done, Andy Reid is washed up, which, by the way, a lot of people have said about him through the years, then Andy Reid doesn't hoist the Lombardi Trophy last evening. So to me, I look at what Kyle is going through. It's a tremendous learning experience. All those things that he's learning from these shortcomings in the big game, you would like to hope and believe that he'll make it back, and in one of these games, he will be able to exercise that experience to be able to win the game.
Let me ask you this, though, LeVar. Do you remember in Seattle when they lost the Super Bowl because Russell Wilson threw a interception from the 1 yard line instead of getting Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah.
And that Seattle team couldn't let that moment go.
Mm-hmm.
It hung over that team. And eventually the Legion of Boom had to be run out, blah, blah, blah. So there's like a circle of trust that goes on with a coach. And you don't want to do anything to break that trust. And so I think they went into this game like, man, we got the best young coach. We got Kyle Shanahan, blah, blah, blah. And I think with particularly Richard Sherman and some of the other players there are going to sit around all offseason like, damn, what were we doing?
No, Richard Sherman going to sit around all offseason like, damn, what was I doing?
Where's my towel?
Where'd my towel go?
Listen.
Oh, no.
Kevin three.
Most people don't look in the mirror. They look out the windshield and start pointing the finger.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan, I'm just telling you, has broken the little. Look, and he can reclaim it, restore it. Bill Belichick went through it with the Malcolm Butler decision. And if you're Bill Belichick, you come in and you don't miss a beat and you restore order. But he has so much history. And so I just believe there's reason to be concerned. Can he fix it? Absolutely. But if it's just like Marcella said, if there's a third one of these episodes, and if it happens in the divisional round of the playoffs, the wild card round, or the championship round, or the Super Bowl again, people will be like, hey, man.
You know, Andy Reid had to do it with another team. If in reality, he should have been in position to win it with Philly. He had to do it with another team. One of his coaching descendants did it. He could end up doing it in a different city. The collapses we're talking about could lead to him having to go do it in another city. Doesn't matter. But from all things that I have heard, and I know a few guys in the locker room, they really buy into Kyle Shanahan.
No question.
They relate to him on a way where it's like a big brother slash authoritative figure as a coach. As long as that belief is there, and I don't see that this game, if anything, this game proves to them that let's lean into it a little bit more with one another, and maybe we can get the win next time. Take some of the blame for some of the loss. But in the end, they ride for one another, and they weren't nowhere near winning no Super Bowl until Kyle got there.
I don't believe you, LeVar, right now. We're going to have to use our experiences.
I believe you.
Look, one, we know this has true momentum because it's happened two times. So imagine you're on this team and you're in the Super Bowl again next year. And imagine you have a lead. What's the first thing in your head? It certainly ain't safe with him calling these plays, more so than somebody else. Be real about that, because we got to use our own experiences against us. So, LeVar.
They were winning.
LeVar, I've known you for so long, two decades long.
Yep.
LeVar, if you say you love somebody, then you break up. Then you see you with the next girl. You say, I love her. Then you break up. Next time you come around me, talk about you love somebody, guess what I'm going to think?
But I still love them. I just don't want to be with you.
It ain't gonna
last. I just don't
want
to be with you.
And I've seen it before, and I've heard it before.
All I'm gonna say to that,
Oh, this is the one, huh?
This isn't the one. You totally messed me up with that. Kyle Shanahan.
Man, stop.
Kyle Shanahan has the chance to do some things at a younger age than most coaches had opportunity. So he should have more of a learning curve and more of an opportunity to correct those wrongs. I think that's the situation.
But we know this because every champion has to be heartbroken along the way.
Yeah.
Last year, the Kansas City Chiefs were heartbroken. Overtime loss in the AFC title game. Again, did they feel like they were going to win? They should have won. D4 jumps offside. They had to play it all the way back to get there to do it. So this is an opportunity for Kyle to take a hard lesson that will propel him to be a champion. Sometimes you have to go through these things. It's uncommon for someone to skate to the top.
Like Magic Johnson, huh?
But I just want you, there's two things. It's not just how he handled the end of the first half, but I guarantee you Jimmy G's popular enough in that locker room that vote of no confidence that he gave Jimmy G right before halftime, that breaks the circle of trust. Yeah. Hey, man, we rolled all the way here, 16 games of regular season. We won 2 playoff games. And now we get to a critical moment, and you just tell the whole world, man, hey, I don't believe in this
That's
guy.
That's a victim's mentality. No. Last I checked on this stage,
no.
Victim mentality does not
That's
fly.
Not
it's
that.
A no-fly zone for victim mentality.
No.
If you are not in a position where your coach trusts that your ability to throw the ball and to deliver the ball doesn't outweigh you turning that ball back over to a team where you believe that their quarterback can deliver, That's you have to accept that, look in the mirror and say, I need to do better.
Yeah.
There has to be, yes, it has to be a self-accountability that I am going to prove and I am going to show that I can be that type of quarterback.
I think this shrapnel is going upstairs as well. One, an organization that makes Jimmy G the highest paid player at one time, it doesn't come down with a heavy hand and say, we can trust in him. That's part one. Coach is going to get it because this is the second time it's happened to you. And the player's going to feel it because isolated events with a connected story.
John Lynch, the general manager.
Everybody getting it.
He was,
yeah, he was saying it.
He wanted Jimmy G to have a chance to
make
plays.
He did it in the booth.
He did it in the booth. But
he called, yes.
Oh,
but
see?
He's also in the
circle
booth.
Circle of trust.
But he's also in the booth.
He's also in the booth. So when we talk about player for player,
the Super Bowl
we all have sat in locker rooms and we've looked around and we know when a guy is real and when he's not. I don't think Kyle Shanahan has to convince those guys about Jimmy Garoppolo and why they handled the situation as such, because those guys have seen the mistakes that Jimmy
Every time you've had to protect Jimmy, it's in winning moments.
Parents
this is a losing moment. We need an explanation now.
What? John Lynch?
We need an explanation.
Parents do it at every game.
It may be out of the right call.
John Lynch!
It may be out of
it
habit.
It was just a reflex
it's just,
action.
It's just out of habit.
There you go.
Just 2 years ago.
He might have been
saying out about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Time out. Why am I getting in?
Let's return to Miami, where Patrick Mahomes took over late last night, scoring 21 unanswered points to win Super Bowl 54. Richard Sherman had no answer for the Chiefs' speedy receivers, getting burned by Sammy Watkins on a huge play that has set up the go-ahead touchdown. After the game, Sherman said he wasn't good enough, and a guy who called him out before the game, Darrelle Revis, was happy, tweeting, quote, Are y'all waiting for the flame? With a bunch of laughing emojis.
That's me laughing.
All right, Richard Sherman and family, I would suggest you turn the volume down. Turn the volume down. Did Richard Sherman's legendary status take a hit on
you? Oh, Compton put out a bad song. That was not good, Richard Sherman. And look, he's amazing. He's a living legend. But even he had to admit, even by the numbers, he didn't play well in the Super Bowl. 118 in terms of passer rating allowed versus 72 in the postseason and compared to 46.8 in the regular season. So you can see the decline. That said, two things really are at play right here that's really unfortunate. One is Darrelle Revis had to shine a light on this. And two is the mic and the amplification of the whispers about Richard Sherman, because everybody who loves Richard Sherman always used to whisper, man, you see him impressed, man, you see him try to go one-on-one, I don't know. That never was microphoned and amplified like it was because of Darrelle Revis. And once those two caught together, it ignited, man. And what a bad moment to be put on that stage. And it's almost like a social stage. It's not really football X's and O's. It was the social stage of everyone's paying attention to your one wart, and boy, did it get exposed.
Mm. I mean, I think every corner, as long as you live on the island, you're going to give up some plays. I mean, even Stephon Gilmore won Defensive Player of the Year. At the end of the year,
Buffalo,
they started going at him.
Yeah, they
and
did.
So it's just kind of the cost of doing business. When you lock up and line up in man-to-man or even their version of cover three, which puts him in man into the boundary, it is hard to consistently win the reps. It's unfortunate that it came at a pivotal moment, But I don't think this takes away anything from the legendary stats
anything?
That he put up.
The same guy who said mediocre to Crabtree, the same guy who was sitting there saying,
That was a young guy.
This is juxtaposed to that. That's the same legacy. You can't. What makes you can break you. What made Richard Sherman wasn't just tremendous play. He had that mouth with it.
Yeah.
Now somebody else is talking and wolfing at him. And he can't respond on the field of play.
We've all seen older players kind of decline and deteriorate before. I mean, we're talking about Tom Brady. Y'all want to still give him $30 million, and we saw how he played this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't change. When you're a legend, it never changes. You know, it's just part of his history.
In the short term, it does impact his legacy. And for those reasons, he talked a big game. I mean, he responded to Darrell Revis. Mm. I mean, if he wouldn't have said anything, who knows if Darrell Revis even responds to it after it happens. You never know, right? But he talks, and he wants the spotlight on him. And he backs it up. He has always backed it up. So in the short term, yes, it does impact his legacy. Long term, people will forget about these little things, and they'll look at the brilliance of what he represented as a quarterback.
It's like Conor McGregor. It's like Conor McGregor in the UFC. Conor McGregor talks a lot. He's done his stuff. He's done his fair share of winning, but he's also been knocked out.
A lot of people want to see him get knocked out.
I would say this. Richard Sherman has been a different kind of Deion Sanders for his 10 years or so in the NFL. He's not Deion.
You better qualify that.
I said a different kind of Deion Sanders.
Okay.
The most.
Most corners all are different than Deion Sanders.
Okay. But I'm just saying the bluster, the hype around them, the voice of the league, an outspoken guy, that's Richard Sherman. And no one ever thought he was the cover guy that Deion was. But now it's like, oh, he really ain't the cover guy Deion was.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just think this goes on his resume permanently. It's like there's system quarterbacks, there's system cornerbacks. Great. He was great in a system, Legion of Boom and all that. But I'm not trying to, he's a Hall of Famer in my opinion. There's no question about it. He's a Hall of Famer. But does he go in as a Hall of Famer, as, you know, like in a conversation of one of the great corners that ever played a game? And I think he was on that track. Not now.
But he was healthy. You got to keep in mind. I'll tell you how serious an Achilles tendon injury is worse than an ACL.
Let me give you the other reason, though, when I say different kind of Deion Sanders. And this isn't being talked about because there's so many other things to talk about. Go look at his post-game interview. Cam Newton-esque almost.
Mm. Okay.
Marshawn Lynch-esque, repeating over and over, very short, very brief. You can't
Didn't face the music.
You can't be the mouth that roars, and then when Darrell Revis calls you out and they get you deep, now I'm quiet as a church mouse. Studio gangster.
Compton put out a bad song. That's why I'm up here. Look, one thing I love about all my peers, man, is it's a mutual respect because they know no matter how many times you dap me up at Prime 112, I'm still going to get up here and give you smoke, bro, and then dap you up when I see you next time. Here's the thing. He had a perfect resume. Stanford, smart. Mm-hmm. You talk about a baller. Too perfect. So people actually root harder for your demise. And he finally found it when people started to really focus in, thanks to Revis, on the fact that he can't cover and press man. So they love you or they love to hate you.
And that's what he is. A late part of his career.
Hey, man, he just played in a Super Bowl. And let's be real, if you watch the game with the sound up, Troy Aikman was calling this from the kickoff.
From hello. Yeah.
They were playing the national anthem, and Troy was like, you know this guy can't cover man to man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it happened. Troy called his shot, and then it happened. That when you start talking about legends, Deion, go look at the way Ray Lewis went out, winning the Super Bowl, things like that. The all-time greats, LT, blah blah. And again, Richard Sherman was trying to ride in that lane. He can't ride in that lane.
And most guys, most greats, They don't live out a decline in public. Like most, like Tom Brady's getting a little unique here. Like, all right, Brady, gonna do this? I gotta get out this quick decline story. So I'm in Jacksonville, it's my 10th year. No gas in the tank. I'm horrible. I'm bum work. I'm just in there for the locker room presence. No doubt. I'm in a game against this Tennessee old lineman. I don't know who he is. I try to hit it with my old Smokey.
He
didn't
knew who
work.
You were.
Man, pancake me. And then when he was getting me up, he said, damn, Wiley, I grew up watching you. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I said, that's the last year I played football. That was the last right there. That's my story.
All right, Darnell, how many Super 6 winners did we have this weekend?
We actually had a grand total of 19. So huge congratulations to those fans. Each won over $13,000 yesterday. And be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for your chance to win.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Andy Reid.
You! Yeah, you!
But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
Oh, man, big dummy of the day go to my boy, Darkless.
What'd I do?
Ah! Yes!
Hey, man, how you gonna say that Patrick Mahomes is getting preferential treatment because of his curly hair? My nephew wore that curly hair around all weekend in Miami. Didn't give him no benefits. He still ain't took it off.
Did you see him every night, though?
Look, I was going to give you some credit, man. You kind of cast it clean today.
All right. Can we use another one? Courthouse clean?
Especially with your age.
Right. Child support clean?
Let's talk Andy Reid.
Died at the barbecue.
Social Security clean?
Who got his first Super Bowl win after 21 years as a head coach, leading the Chiefs to an incredible comeback win over the 49ers last night. Marcellus, we all know the Chiefs roster is stacked. Is it crazy to think Reid could catch Bill Belichick in Super Bowl titles?
Wow.
Who came up with that question?
Who wrote this? They say you shouldn't tell kids what they can't do, but you can tell adults what they can't do. Hell no, he ain't going to catch no damn Bill Belichick. He's 61, and he just got his first one. I don't think he coaches forever. So, no, I don't think.
I think that question is born out of Patrick Mahomes' greatness, and so maybe they can win the next 5 Super Bowls. All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Hell no.
I had to give it up for Andy Reid and the Chiefs today. I'm done criticizing Andy Reid.
Yes.
He's an all-time great, a Hall of Famer. Anyway, your thoughts on the Chiefs.
So it is written. So it shall be. I told y'all what was happening, but y'all didn't want to listen to me. I told y'all the boy was the truth. Some of y'all said I was a lie. Damn how we start the game. But at the end, y'all was the one running out like y'all's ass was on fire. See, I ain't like you, nephew. I don't waffle and gravy. I told y'all the Chiefs was gonna whoop that ass. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. Now, let me tell you something else now.
Yeah.
The big girls in Miami, they love some Uncle Jimmy. And this is undeniably true. I'm trying to say I had a good time in Miami, nephew. How about you?
Not bad.
Yo, Andy Reid, listen to me. Congratulations on exercising your little demons. Now, man, you can go on and move on with your life. Leave Donovan and T.O. over there bitching and screaming.
You stupid.
Well, and Dolomite. Trust me, Andy,
yes,
for benching your boy. Oh, I saw what happened. I saw you put them shackles on Shady McCoy.
I know. That's cold. Cold.
That's pretty good.
What'd I tell y'all?
Yeah, what'd you tell us? What?
I told you Kansas City Chiefs was romping, stomping, ass-kicking, hell-raising, pieces of death and destruction. All of y'all that didn't believe me, y'all walked out of that stadium with a foot stuck in your ass like a muffin.
Why? What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Please. What?
Buffett?
Please, continue.
Oh, you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Oh, you got another
one? Gucci shoes, girlfriends with big boobs, Kenny G running for the sideline faster than Richard Sherman's receding sideline.
Hairline.
Hey, look at me. The receding hairline, it don't matter. The 49ers found themselves in for a hell of a time. They went down to Miami and found themselves in the fight with an alligator. They was going to take that ass whipping now, or they could have took it later.
What?
Look, man, in the first half, the Chiefs started slow. But by at the end, Jimmy G was shaking faster than that ass on J-Lo. Hey, halftime, Andy Reid, he took a look. He kept on kicking. He said, that show looked better than a bucket of chicken. Okay. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all now, Shakir's hips don't lie, and neither do I. I knew they was done the moment she started speaking in tongues. I'm out. I ain't down with that. That girl don't know how to act.
All right, we got to get to our approval rating.
I like it.
I got Andy Reid at 87. GOAT status finally for Andy Reid. I move him up 5 points in all-time greatness, 4 points in authenticity. Big Red, congratulations. You won't be hearing from me anymore of a criticism.
That's love. I got him. A GOAT status, same here. Shakira made HD worth it. Man, I'm
just... Wait a minute.
I'm like, what?
Wait a minute. Look. Come on, give me some of this.
The angles, man. The cameraman was winning, whoever you are, brother.
I don't know. The internet somehow disagrees with us, bro, and calls him
shoot
an all-star.
Shoot down. Don't shoot
again, man.